You work hard in your career, and you deserve to know what it takes to get to the top. This is Everyday MBA, interviews with best-selling authors, innovative thought leaders, and top-shelf executives, all sharing their best techniques and tips that you won't learn in business school. This is the show that will help you take your career to the next level. And now, here's your host, Kevin Crane.
Our guest today is Natasha Zorek. Natasha is a seven-figure business mentor and international speaker that helps female entrepreneurs sustainably scale their brand. She's an expert in uncovering and leveraging ways to profit from your potential and a master at modern marketing strategies. So, Natasha, welcome to Everyday MBA. Now, a lot of people dream about building a seven-figure business. Where do you begin? What's the first thing that you tell your clients that helps set them up in the right direction?
I tell them to analyze their sustainable systems from two different avenues. Primarily, I say, if you want to have that freedom lifestyle, it is so detrimental that you realize that no one has made it to the top alone, and you only have a certain amount of energy per day and units to give to people. Business, it's a lot of energy. So support yourself. No one has made it to the top alone. So analyze your literal systems. Like, how can you leverage socials? Yes, which is rented digital space, but more importantly, your owned digital space. How can you be making yourself present while you're not present physically? So email marketing, certain funnel systems, right? It can just be as basic as one funnel system. So you are capturing leads because of your sustainable content, say on Instagram or YouTube, and then people can just binge and immerse themselves within your world, get to know who you are, say in your email marketing, your funnel, and review the systems that you have so that you do feel supported. And then the other one that I think is kind of a gap in this space, especially in the coaching, is look at your sustainable systems with yourself. So what do I mean by that? I mean, are you building a business from a place of, say you took a course or you hired a specific coach or mentor? Are you kind of doing a copy paste of their successful method, which did work? And if so, I'm going to say that's not sustainable, because at some point you're going to reach burnout. It's going to feel disconnected. It's not going to feel like home, like you. And at the end of the day, you want to be building a business that is coming from a place of passion, coming from a place of, oh, this feels like the self, right? So sit down and look at the approaches and the methodologies that you have consumed over time and say, how can I come back to my desired methods and feelings and impact, and now really show up with that type of energy and that type of approach where you can still use someone's method you've learned, but now you're also fusing what feels good for you and, you know, what feels sustainable, right? Because someone's one method might feel a little bit of burnout or too much for you. And it's just doing a kind of like a gut check and saying, is this sustainable? So kind of those two fronts, because if you have strong foundations, that is such a key to sustainably scaling to seven figures and beyond, eight figures.
No matter what my product or what my service is, at the end of the day, I've got to sell. I've got to be profitable. What is your advice and approach to modern day sales psychology? What is it and how can we leverage it?
Yeah. So I think one, marketing, it depends how you look at it in your approach, right? So sales psychology specifically, and how to like cut through so many saturated industries, your saturated industry, where you just feel like a tiny little speck in a huge big sea, right? How do you stand out and be highly memorable? It's by using these data-driven methods that are proven to stay in a consumer's mind. So you stay top of mind. And something I always say is every great marketer will aim to be memorable, because that produces sales, that produces curiosity, that produces engagement. And being in demand. So three things that you can do to leverage sales psychology, to stay top of mind, to really, really fuse in high converting sales and scale is, one, I like to use the feel-good factor. The feel-good factor in sales psychology is essentially where you boost dopamine within your audience and your marketing, where you will leverage marketing that is going to promote good feeling. So what does that mean? You could add a bit of gamification, which is, say you're on Instagram, right, or YouTube. You add non-game-like elements in a non-game environment. So it could be like a fun little quiz or a this or that. That is boosting dopamine and engagement. You could also do that in your marketing, where you kind of surprise someone with a nice little freebie or a bonus lesson. You're just constantly infusing pleasure and not pain. That keeps audience members tapped onto you. So that's a really good way to leverage sales psychology and cut through the noise. Number two, one of the best ones is the mirror exposure effect. Now, this is the power of kind of the reason behind personal branding and why it works so well, is because the mirror exposure effect is essentially when you have strong familiarity points with someone or people. As humans, we like to connect with things that feel familiar. So how can you fuse this in? Say on your brand or your brand identity or even your business, the colors. If it's your personal brand, it's who you are beyond the founder role and you're sharing that publicly. You can have distinctive personal branding pillars. Say you love a life of luxury. You love your pets. You love to travel. Those are connectors, deep connectors with your audience. And that, I'm a new audience member. I come in, oh, I love travel. I have a fur baby. I have, you know, this and that. Oh, that seems like my type of people, right? We like to be with people that feel in our similar interests. And so when we're making investments, oftentimes, especially if it's women, it's very emotional based. So you can leverage the mirror exposure effect throughout your copy on your website, on your about, some eye-catching ones on your homepage, some really good posts on your Instagram or email marketing. You could leverage that to instantly have deep connectors with your audience so they resonate with you. And that is kind of, I think, the mirror exposure effect is the why behind that, why that works.
So you're connecting your personal, you're connecting a person with the business as opposed to the business just sitting alone by itself.
Yeah, you can absolutely do that. And there's just so much power behind knowing why your methods are working and knowing how impactful it can be. And then you can teach that. If you are a coach or a mentor, if you're a fellow one listening right now, I'm going to implore you to really fuse that in tons of areas within your business. But to kind of conclude this, the third point, and one of the best points I have, is storytelling. This is probably one of the most powerful sales psychology tools. And we often think, oh, just storytelling. I know that. Of course, everyone loves a good story, right? It's almost right. It's almost nostalgic, but it's
easy
peasy. But storytelling is so rooted in sales psychology, because what it does is it allows your consumer to put themselves in the story. We all are the main character in the world, okay? In our lives, we are the main character. So when you can allow people to go into that kind of dream realm and that, oh, that point A to point B in that story, I can see myself there. Oh, I can, and that's the mirror exposure effect. I connected with that point and this point in the story. It's kind of the facilitator of the mirror exposure effect and even the feel-good factor. And it's a way of marketing in a way that is also familiar in itself, because we all know stories. So in terms of leveraging this to increase sales, is instead of going into straight education, which you see, oh, 5 ways to scale your business, 10 ways to have the most profitable year, one method that made me $1 million in 6 months, I'll encourage you to not ditch, but minimize all the educational content you put out and try telling some really cool, moving, inspiring stories, because that is going to facilitate tons of engagement, and engagement transitions into sales.
Hi, this is Dori Clark, author of Stand Out, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. And you are listening to Everyday MBA with Kevin Crane.
Do you want to be a guest on Everyday MBA? Join our alumni of best-selling authors and top shelf executives in an interview of your own. Are you an author, a thought leader, an entrepreneur, or a consultant? Be a guest. Talk about your ideas, why they're important, and what your recommendations are for our listeners. Find out more at everyday-mba.com/guest. That's everyday-mba.com/guest.
You're listening to Everyday MBA.
We are here today with Natasha Zorak. Natasha is a business mentor and a marketing expert that helps female entrepreneurs sustainably scale their brand. You can find more, find Natasha at natashazorak.com. That's Zorik.com. Natasha, now a lot of folks are leaving the corporate world to become independent entrepreneurs, either as consultants or building a business or building maybe a brand around themselves, their personal brand. And a lot of things have changed over the last just couple of years. Where are the biggest opportunities today? And where should we point our feelers if we're looking to do that kind of career and business transition?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one, definitely, if you want to transition into this freedom lifestyle, the entrepreneur, and break through the corporate, some techniques you could focus on is the social platforms, right? A huge runner up. You know how Instagram specifically was more of a photo sharing personal app? You're noticing a huge dip in especially Gen Zs and millennials who are using it for a personal use. It's more TikTok now. Instagram has single-handedly become like the runner-up for business apps. It's like the modern, funky LinkedIn, in a sense. And it's what I like to call people's digital storefront. So one of the biggest tips I have, if you want to break beyond the corporate world, is get on a social platform like Instagram, or you could get on TikTok because you can blow up really quick and have crazy visibility. But build a digital storefront and a home so people, for even SEO purposes, can search you up, because millennials and Gen Z say that they Instagram and TikTok before they Google nowadays, which is very powerful studies to follow. So get a digital storefront, start connecting, and then from there, start creating content that is really going to hit home to your specific consumer. And like the point that I previously said is share the personal brand, share the stories, create a deep, deep mission. Because there was a study that I read and it said millennials nowadays, they even want to know the mission and origin story behind their dentist. They want to say, why teeth? Why teeth? Why, you know?
Right.
Why this profession? And it's because millennials want purpose behind their purchases. It's less, you know, following the big corporate. Millennials and Gen Z are almost anti-corporate and anti-big name brand. So when you can connect to that and that personal brand and use the facilitator of socials, you're going to have and see so much success pretty quickly if you do it consistently.
Why do you focus on female entrepreneurs as opposed to just entrepreneurs in general?
Yeah, so I get that question often where it's, people say, okay, well, aren't you missing out on all men demographics? And I kind of say to that is, I look at it completely opposite, because I'm actually, by focusing on female entrepreneurs and being very niche specific, I'm able to hone in on my messaging, my copy, my marketing so directly to what they need, their desires, to speak so clearly and concisely, that I actually increase my conversion rates and it lands so much more. Instead of being a jack of all trades, I'm a master of one for this, for that demographic. So it's actually really, really served me well. And it's also, I sat down with my mannerisms. I knew I wanted to have a very strong personal brand. And I said, if I call in and work with female entrepreneurs, my tone, my approach, all of that will be so much more polished if I just stay within that niche. So that's why. And I get really in there with my clients, very personal. Like, I've been invited to some of their parties and across the world and this and that. So it's, you know, it just feels like such a close family. And yeah, I've just seen so much by niching down.
Over the years, we've had a number of female entrepreneurs, CEOs, and executives, authors on the show. Often our discussion talks quite a bit about the difficulties that women have in business, in the business world, the corporate world. But I'd like to ask you, what do you feel are some of the opportunities that women have today and some of the strengths that are available to women today?
Yeah, I love that question. So some benefits for female entrepreneurs is you just don't have the traditional kind of glass ceilings. You don't have the weird hierarchy you created. And it's also this sense of, it's such a uplifting instead of almost I have to fight through these barriers to be successful. Like there is no bar in this space and it is an unregulated space, but with that comes huge dreamers. Yes, there's competitors, of course, but you see a lot of collaboration. And so where we're traditionally as females used to being kind of, say, shadowed by some bigger male figures, or we know it's going to take a little bit more grit and time and effort to get to a high earning spot, it's quite opposite. There is literally no cap. So you can be bold, you can be audacious, you can be the leader of many, of one, of whatever you want to be. And you can do it also in a form of self-expression. Like you don't have to dress in a corporate manner too all the time. Like you can be, it's like this creative, it's just a creative avenue. So for female entrepreneurs, it really lets you go into more of like a feminine energy, if you want to say, a playful energy. It's less structured. You're not put in a box and it's really, really fun for female entrepreneurs and freeing.
Can you give us one example of one entrepreneur that you feel has been particularly successful? What did they do and what were the results?
Yeah, that's a great question as well. I can relate to one of my clients recently. So this past September of 2022, she left corporate America, and she started her business. She's a sales expert. And after 2 years, she ended up closing her books down in 2022 specifically. And then she tried to come back for 6 months. She came to me and she said, I am so worn out. I feel like I'm in corporate America again. I need to probably get another job. No marketing is working. No clients are coming in. Sales are lower than ever before. This feels so much harder. I wanted to come back with my dream. And so what we did is we analyzed her marketing. We analyzed, like I said, her digital storefront, her Instagram, and we leaned into storytelling and sales psychology. Literally within 10 days, she hit her first $100,000 launch, and that was cash. And then in 90 days, she hit $300,000. And she never had higher engagement rates. She had so many women pouring their hearts out to her, being like, I have been following you for 3 years. And there's this magnetism to you. I have to work with you. And that was through the power of her sharing her deepest, darkest secrets, her funniest, most vulnerable ones. She was being and focusing on leadership marketing through the power of storytelling. And she also expanded her offers. So I pushed her to lean into what I like to say, her unique brilliance. And she created offers around that. So she started just selling more, serving more, and listening to her audience. And it was a beautiful experience that resulted in crazy financial wins. And also she found herself again. She found herself through her mission, her voice. She helped other people do it by her taking that first step in sharing these vulnerable stories. And it was really, really, really moving. So yeah, that's a really amazing story that is recent.
You are listening.
You're listening to
Everyday MBA.
We are here with business mentor and marketing expert, Natasha Zorich. You can find Natasha and find out more at natashazorich.com. That's Natasha, ZORYK.com. Natasha, we have reached the action item round of the show. I'm wondering if you could provide us with three quick action items that our listeners can do to take advantage of your ideas and advice.
Yeah, three action items that you could use to implement everything we've talked about is realize that you are your best asset in business. Be vulnerable, be the leader, infuse, like I've been saying, the storytelling within your marketing. Take a little step away from the traditional educational or kind of just traditional marketing tactics we have been taught for years, and realize that You are your best asset, not your coach, not your website. You are. So the more you lean into that, the more you will prosper. And then number two, take everything with a grain of salt. Even this, even what I'm saying, I always say, question everything, question what I say, my methods, because that allows you, I kind of coined this as your entrepreneurial IQ. I think oftentimes when we hire a coach or a mentor, or we have people we look up to, or we consume a lot of content, or a competitor, we get so attached to who they are and what they're doing that we forget our own inner guidance and voice. And that leads to burnout and not sustainably scaling. So work on your critical thinking, work on being that entrepreneurial IQ and questioning, testing, having fun along the journey. That's one of the biggest ones too. And then number three is study sales psychology. Just dive headfirst into it. There's so many amazing books. There's tons of podcast episodes. You can immerse yourself within that world because it cuts the fluff. You don't get someone's five-step proprietary method. You get to make it your own, which is kind of tying into point number two that I gave. And it's data-driven, it's high-converting, it's time-tested, and we're selling to people, and sales psychology is about getting in the minds of people. So it really works well. Yeah, those are kind of my three tips.
Well, Natasha, it has been great speaking with you today. We're almost out of time, but before I let you go, I want to hear about that time that you got hit by a bus. What was that like? And what did you learn from it?
Yeah, so I did. That's true. I like to say the movie, if you're listening right now and you watch the movie Mean Girls, I had my Regina George moment because she got hit by a bus in the movie. And it was literally 1 week before my biggest speaking event. And I was so nervous. It was like a luxury interior designing event. And there was over 100 people there. I was the keynote speaker. I was shaking in my boots. I was so nervous. And then bam, I get hit by a bus. I'm here to tell the story. It's okay. You can laugh. And yeah, I got hit. And the lesson I learned is that one, it makes a killer opener for an event. Two, because when I opened up, I was so nervous and I told the story, and then they kind of introduced me saying, "We're so happy Natasha is here alive." And it was, people were like scratching their head. What is going on here? And so it really created a killer opener. But two is to turn your pain into power and truly, truly leverage these like dark moments, these vulnerable moments, and allow it to be the catalyst for your brightest days and brightest connector points, like I've been saying in this episode. I could have hid behind that. I could have kept it quiet. I could have let it be life shattering. Instead, I said, how can I make this funny? How can I like turn it into marketing material? How can I connect with my audience over this, right? And I actually have found a few people who have also got hit by buses and they ended up purchasing my course. So that was interesting. But the lesson is to turn your pain into power and leverage these dark moments, like I said, to be the catalyst to your brightest days. So that's kind of the lesson there.
That is Natasha Zorek. Natasha, thank you so much for being our guest today on Everyday MBA.
Thank you so much. What an honor.
That'll do it for this episode of Everyday MBA. And do you want to be a guest on the show? It could happen. Join our Knowledge Leadership Circle and be featured in an interview of your own. Be a guest. Just go to everyday-mba.com/guest for more information. That's everyday-mba.com/guest.